hello, everyone. We are live. Today is June 22nd, 2026. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. Here We Go Is Right. We're so happy to have you joining us. We're going to say hi to a few people in the chat as you all are coming in, as people are being notified that we have gone live. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hello to you in Queens, New York. Hello to our beautiful friends in the boroughs. I'm from the Bronx, and we just bless you, and we thank you for being on here tonight. Hello to you in England. Oh, we're going to talk about you tonight. You just had a political earthquake happen in England, and we are going to talk about you. So hello to all of our viewers in England and our international audience that's coming in. God bless you. Hello to you in India. India has joined. God bless you to our beautiful friends in India who are watching tonight. Hello to you in Utah, our neighbors in Connecticut. I see you. God bless you. I see Georgia. I see Warren, Minnesota, North Carolina, Griffin, Georgia. Oh, the chat's going so fast. El Paso, Texas, Elgin, Texas. God bless all of you. Hello, Florida, and our Long Islanders and our Jersey Shore who just came in. God bless all of you. We're thrilled to have you on with us tonight. Hello to you in Louisiana, in Kentucky, in Utah, let's see who else, Costa Rica, God bless all of you, very happy to have you on with us tonight. Hello, yep, I see more Great Britain coming in, God bless you, very happy to have you on with us tonight. Hello to you in Auburndale, Florida, God bless you, thrilled to have you on with us tonight. And let's see who else is coming on, Indiana, Ohio, Yosemite, God bless all of you, Kansas I see as well. Tennessee, Boise, Idaho, Sanbornville, New Hampshire. God bless all of you. We're thrilled to have you on with us tonight. Hawaii, God bless all our friends in Hawaii watching tonight. We're thrilled to have you on with us as well. Lynchburg, Virginia, I see. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Brooklyn, hello, and God bless you who are in Brooklyn. We're very happy to have you on with us. Enumclaw, Washington, Roseburg, Oregon. God bless all of you on the West Coast. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. I see Massachusetts. I see Long Island, New York. God bless both of you. Let's see. I see Iowa and the Adirondack Mountains. God bless you. Hello to our neighbors in the Adirondacks. We're thrilled to have you on. UK Wales. Hello to all of our UK people coming on. We're going to be talking about you partially tonight. God bless you. Thrilled to have you on with us. And as Esther is walking out the door, she will be back. I promise you that. And God bless our moderators, our Ark of Grace team who's jumping on. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. I am back, as you can see, in New York. Praise God. Chris did very well on this trip and the flight. So I was thrilled because this was the big test. He hasn't been flown in 6 months since what happened to him in January. The doctor cleared him. And so this was the big test. And praise God, he did beautiful. And he did very well on the flight. So I was thrilled and I praise the Lord for that. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up in prayer. We have a lot to talk about tonight. Given what has transpired over the weekend, there's something that happened about 9-10 days ago. We're going to talk about that too and what that is, because the kingdom of darkness made an announcement and we have to start to pray. So we're going to get into that as well as everything else we have to talk about with Camp David, as well as England, as well as Iran and what is happening. So we're going to prophetically break this all down for you. So let's give this over to the Lord, welcome his presence in, and we will get started tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We come before your courts with thanksgiving and praise, saying your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is written, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, help us to seek your kingdom first. Teach us what pleases you today, Lord. Equip us to walk in your ways. Father, In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, coming humbly but boldly to the throne of grace, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we've sinned and fallen short, Lord. We praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge the immense sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who came to the earth in the form of a man. He was the Word, became flesh. He dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the sacrifice for our sin. He willingly laid down his life at Calvary. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we praise you that Jesus Christ, when he said, "It is finished," blotted out ordinances, disarmed principalities and powers, made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation, miraculously rose again, appeared to many, ascended back to be with the Father, took his rightful victorious place at his right hand, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let your power, your presence, the weight of the glory of who you are, the conviction and the holiness of who you are, fill this place, Father God. Go before us tonight, Father God. Order this broadcast, Father God. Be our front and rear guard. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Lord, and our team, the humble privilege, Father, of being vessels of your power. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, divisions, to surround the skies, the land above and below, north, south, east, and west, to guard against every dimensional access point, Father God, that every work of darkness, iniquity, hex, vex, spell, potion, incantation, manipulation, sabotage, witchcraft, attacks of any kind, any form of weaponized demonic activity sent against us, in the name of Jesus Christ, let it be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it casts back to the areas you have designated for such, Father God, to not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, according to Ephesians chapter 6, we put the whole and complete armor on us this day, Father God. We command the shield of faith go up in the name of Jesus Christ in order to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command every arrow, weapon, and dart being fired at us by the enemy and his agents be reversed upon the senders now in Jesus' name. And we take the sword of the Spirit, which is living and active, which is the word of God. And we command be activated the sword of the Spirit and all its capabilities to now work in our favor to destroy the snares the enemy attempts to place in our way, to pierce, puncture, dismantle, and destroy every plot, assignment, word, weapon, device, agent, snare, or campaign the enemy would attempt to deploy at us, to remove every physical and spiritual blockade and embargo the enemy would attempt to place in my way, and in the way of this broadcast, Father God, and make the way straight for us to walk in the victory, power, authority, and prosperity that the Lord God Almighty has ordained for us, Father God. Lord, help us to go deeper with you, Father God. Lord, give us the desire to just push into a deeper relationship with you, Father God. Give us the desire for your word, for the things of your word, for reading your word, for studying your word, Father God. Lord, let the joy of the Lord be our strength and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Now put a guard over our mind and our heart, Father God. Lord, we just praise you for who you are, Father God. We praise you, Father God, for your love and your mercy, that you are long-suffering, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, Father God. We praise you. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. Lord, we praise you that you put us on the potter's wheel, that you fill us and mold us, Father God. Lord, we praise you, Father God, that you can take what's broken and you can put it on the potter's wheel and put it back together, Father. Lord, we just praise you, Father God, for who you are, Father God. We praise you, Father God, Lord, that we are in covenant with you. We give you all the glory tonight, Father God. Take all the glory for yourself as we mightily go forth tonight. Night, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you could share this broadcast. We'd very much appreciate it. Like and subscribe. It does help us, and it's a blessing to us, so we appreciate that ahead of time. We have a lot, let's see, to get into tonight based on what's happened over the past few days, and we're going to look at this through a biblical lens, because what is unfolding before us is biblical, what is happening. This is a spiritual war before it's a physical war. So I want to tell you, though, what I heard today, though. I perceive it to be from the Lord at about 2:40 p.m. today. This is what I heard. Hearing North Korea. North Korea shall fire in this time in order to cover up a crime that shall be pulled from the depths of a family line. The final hours are approaching for the leadership of North Korea, and the table they so feast at will be the one violently turned over before the earth. So about 2:40 p.m., I heard this word. And so it's the first thing I'm putting out before we get into anything else. I put it at the top for good reason. And so just intercede and pray for that, because the cry in North Korea is getting louder and louder. While everybody's eyes are on Iran, while everybody's eyes are going on the fighting in Russia and Ukraine, watch. The Lord is highlighting them for a reason. And we need to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say in this hour. Okay, now, we're going to start with something that happened on June 13th. Now, I'm not putting up the article because the picture in the article is so hideous that I wasn't going to give it the space on my computer screen. And you're going to understand in a minute why I'm doing that. But I think it's important we start from here to understand that an announcement has been made. An announcement has been made by the kingdom of darkness, and we need to intercede and pray. They will announce before they do something, and a very serious announcement has been made, and I'm going to highlight it for all of you. So, there's a Virginia-based band called G-War, and on stage, they performed a mock killing of President Donald Trump when they played at Warped Tour in Washington, D.C. earlier this month, towards the beginning of June, infuriating MAGA fans. Now, this included soaking this figure that they call Donald Trump in fake blood. And this basically happens in the month of June, the sixth month, the month filled with pride. That also happens to contain the summer solstice, which just happened. It happens about a month after America is rededicated back to the Lord, almost a month, in Washington, D.C. And I'm telling you now, this is not antics. I know they've claimed to do this with other figures of famous people and presidents, but this is not antics. They can claim that they've done this to others on stage, but there's something more here to this. They claim their biggest enemy, this band, is authority. However, they are under the authority of the kingdom of darkness doing its bidding by taking part in this act, which is an announcement from the kingdom of darkness of their intentions of once again to try to take out and harm the high leadership in this land. Because the kingdom of darkness will always announce before they do something. Now, this band's name is G-War. It has the name war in it. How interesting that as war occurs with Iran and we are at a heightened level of sophisticated spiritual warfare in this nation, that this band from Washington, D.C. would be influenced of all times to do this now. And you know where they performed? They performed at RFK Memorial Stadium grounds in Washington, D.C. on June 13th. 2026. The memorial, the grounds for the dead. That's where they did this, because RFK, I believe, was assassinated. And they did this with a figure of President Trump on stage at a memorial for another political figure, right? That's what it's named after, who was, I believe, also assassinated. Now, this happened 6 days before President Trump headed to Camp David. So, you have this ceremony on the grounds of a memorial for another assassinated political figure involving a likeness of President Trump, right? killing him on stage. Now, I'm going to say this. I'd like to see them do this to Muslim leaders on stage. I'd like to see them do this to an image of a Muslim leader and see what happens to them for doing this. I'm telling you, this is not a stunt. This is an announcement from the Kingdom of Darkness. And where did they choose to announce it from? Washington, D.C. Now, remember, when I talked about last year, dark altars and President Trump, and there was that woman that announced in Washington, D.C., she said how she was going to kill the president. And I said, this is an announcement from the Kingdom of Darkness that they want to take out a high shepherd in this nation. Charlie Kirk was killed shortly after that. So when I'm telling you these are announcements, I'm not kidding. This is the time to intercede and pray, because they did this from Washington, D.C. in the 6th month, which is June. So in the 6th month, 6 days before Camp David, in the year 2026, in Washington, D.C., there's your calling card of the spirit of Antichrist that's moving about in this. So we need to intercede and pray, have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, because this is an announcement that they are going to once again try in a very profound way to take out high leadership in this land. And if we intercede and pray and recognize the deployment from the Kingdom of Darkness, we can actually dismantle this plan in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this, what this is. I recognize their handiwork, and I'm just putting the warning out there now. They have announced it. They are going to try to take out high leadership in this land in a very profound way. It was announced from Washington, D.C. at this RFK Memorial Stadium using a likeness of President Trump, and that was a ceremony and an announcement from the Kingdom of Darkness that they have now deployed in the spirit, and to bring on the move in the natural now, another attempt on the life of high leadership, and a profound one, I'm going to tell you. This is not just like patty cake here. This is a profound, profound attempt they are announcing. So I wanted to say that first and foremost, because we need to intercede and pray, and we need to recognize when this happens that the church has been given a greater power and authority through Christ Jesus to tear down those plans. So that's what I'm going to give you. That's your assignment, is to pray and intercede against this now, that it is dismantled and destroyed before it accomplishes the fullness of the chaos at the highest levels and the catastrophe that it wants to cause in the time of the 250th anniversary of America. So I wanted to tell you that first and foremost. Now, let's go to Camp David. We're going to take a trip to Camp David now that I've said that, for because that is crucial. I'm telling you, that is urgent. They've announced it. It's urgent. They've deployed it. I mean, if you want, we'll pray right now before I go into Camp David, because people are asking in the chat, can we pray? Can we pray and intercede now? So we'll pray and intercede now, and then we will continue. So, Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come before you in agreement, Father God. Your word says one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. How much more, Father God, could tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands do coming together in the name of Jesus Christ? And Father, we bring this situation before you. There has been an announcement made by the Kingdom of Darkness. They have deployed their weapons. They have deployed their destruction. The devourer has gone out to attempt to take prey from the high leadership of this land. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, before your court, Father, we are asking, Lord, for an emergency injunction against such a plot. Father, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that any doors of pride or rebellion or not listening or heeding the Holy Spirit in this hour when it comes to the administration, President Trump and the cabinet, Father, we are asking for your mercy. We are asking for those doors to be closed, shut, locked, blocked in Jesus' name and sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, that the enemy will not find a legal loophole. Father, we come before your court in the name of Jesus Christ, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask be dismantled, destroyed, thwarted, scattered in the name of Jesus Christ, the plots and plans hands of the enemy to take prey in this hour. Father, let every demonic conspiracy the enemy has raised in this be destroyed by the holy fire of God. Let every embargo the enemy has attempted to place to entrap his prey be lifted now in the name of Jesus Christ. The thief may come to steal, kill, or destroy, but it is written, John 10:10, you have come to give life and life more abundant. And we apply that scripture now. It is written to the Trump administration, to the cabinet, to President Trump, to his sons. Father, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do in this hour and what they say. And we're asking you to reveal that to them. In Jesus' name, Father, reveal it to the sons, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions right now, Father God, to intercept the deployment, to intercept the execution, to intercept the plans of the enemy, Father God, and thwart them and dismantle them and stop them short of their mark. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. And amen. Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. I felt that too. I felt that go out. So praise the Lord. But I'm warning you, you have to continue to intercede and pray because of the seriousness of that it was done in Washington, D.C. Now, we're going to put up the article for Camp David because this is just as important, what I'm going to show you here. Trump heads to Camp David as Iran talks falter. Now, this is Reuters, guys, so this is what it says. Washington, June 19th, Reuters. President Donald Trump will make a rare trip to Camp David this weekend, returning to the presidential retreat for only the second time since retaking office last year. Trump will hold policy and political meetings during his visit. A White House official said his family will travel with him for the weekend, which includes Father's Day on Sunday. When David put on... Now, okay, so let me just stop there for a minute. So, Camp David, the prophetic timing of this is immense. There is a prophetic timing to the president going to Camp David now. And we're going to break that down for you because he rarely goes there. And so I'm going to say this. When David, and I'll explain this more in a minute, when David put on Saul's armor for a moment, he faltered. He then realized he could not fight the battle in Saul's armor. He took off that covering and then unconventionally positioned himself and fought the battle, which looked to be unconventional by men, but it was in alignment with God's blueprint and God's instructions for that battle with Goliath. So, when Goliath is about to fall, here comes Camp David. So David always shows up on the scene before Goliath is brought down because the verdict is coming down and the stone that is flung, it's Camp David that ends up coming and carrying that out. And I'm going to go to 1 Samuel 17 verses 45 through 47 because these set of scriptures not only represents his presidency, but it's going to resonate more and more throughout his presidency. And this is what it says. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not save with the sword or with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us." That was David's declaration. That's 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47. Those are Trump's presidencies. That also equals 911, right? That's what it equals. Now, you have Cuba and Iran right now. You have others. But you have Cuba and Iran, two giants in their own right that are teetering right now. And before a giant falls, David's camp shows up. Before their army is scattered, the army of the Philistines, David comes to the battle line and unconventionally engages in the battle. Now, Something's on the move here with 1 Samuel 17 and this Camp David meeting and what is happening with Iran and Cuba and other parts of the globe. And we need to pray and intercede because Saul attempted to put his own armor on David, interfered in that battle, and it almost ruined the battle and could have cost David his life. And I'm going to explain this further because I believe this is what we see going on to a degree that is trying to increase itself around the administration. So we have to pray. Hello, Esther. Hello. We have to pray against the interference of Saul in this because Camp David shows up right before a stone is thrown and a giant falls. Because Saul wants to tie David's hands. Saul wants to interfere and cause David to prematurely fall because Saul is led of a spirit of political greed. Saul doesn't want progress. He wants to hold on to a position that is not his. And in 1 Samuel 17, 37 through 40, I'm going to read to you these scriptures. It says, David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and may the Lord be with you." That's what the king says to a shepherd boy. Saul did not want to fight this battle, and he's the king. Then Saul dressed David in his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head and put a coat of armor on him. Then David fastened his sword over his armor and tried to walk, but he could not because he was not used to them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these because I'm not used to them." So David took them off. Verse 40. Then he took his shepherd's staff in his hand and chose for himself five smooth stones out of the stream bed and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, that is, in his shepherd's pouch. With his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. So David makes this declaration, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear is the same God who will deliver me now." David is starting from a position of victory. He is already starting the battle, speaking deliverance, saying, "God delivered me from this, God delivered me from this, and the same God that delivered me from these things will deliver me now." So he's prophesying, and he's starting from a position of victory in this battle. This is also for you with, for what you're going through in your personal life, okay? This is also for this as well. When you start from a position of victory, it's very hard for the enemy to drag you into defeat when you start from a position with victory with the Lord. Now, what does Saul do? In verse 38, it says, "Saul dressed David in his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head and put a coat of armor on him." He dressed David in his garments. The garments that he refused to battle Goliath in. The garments that were attached to him. His apathy, his refusal to deal with Goliath, his refusal to do what God had called him to do. Saul was in a position of compromise and defeat, and he attempted to put that covering over David through his armor. Now remember, Saul is a political figurehead in this, okay? So instead of the covering of the Lord, Saul in his compromise covering, he attempted to put on David before a covenant battle. You cannot go into a covenant battle wearing a compromise covering and expect to have victory. I'm speaking prophetically now, but what's going on right now with the administration, what's going on with Iran, what's happening globally, I'm speaking prophetically. Saul was attempting to place his identity on David. An identity that did not have the faith, the perspective, the power, or the presence to defeat Goliath. An identity that was carnal. It was fleshly. It was not from a strategic position spiritually. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these because I'm not used to them." So David took them off. Saul was interfering in the battle to place David out of a position of covenant and victory. By putting him in his armor, he was going to sabotage that battle and create a stumbling block to David, and it would have gotten David killed had David not realized, removed that covering, and made the active choice to fight the battle by heaven's blueprint, not man's. That's important for your lives too. Saul was interfering. Saul was sabotaging the battle. Saul was trying to dictate a battle he didn't even want to fight. By putting David in his carnal, fleshly armor. This was a spiritual battle before it was a physical one. And that armor had no business being in that battle. 1 Samuel 17:39-40. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these because I'm not used to them. So David took them off. Then he took his shepherd's staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones out of the stream bed and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had. That is, in his shepherd's pouch. With his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. So David unhooks himself from Saul, from agreement with Saul, from the covering of Saul, from the weapons of Saul, from the poor perspective of Saul, and Saul's way of doing things that now had Israel in that compromised position before Goliath. David then chooses unconventional weapons to man, but covenant weapons to the Lord. A shepherd's staff and 5 smooth stones. The staff and the rock. The staff protects and delivers. The rock delivers the judgment and the sentence because the rock is Jesus Christ. Judgment begins at the head. And that's a word for the church and the political arena within the earth right now. Judgment begins at the head. That's why that stone hit Goliath square at the top of his head. Because judgment begins at the head. That is a word and a half right now for the church and the political arena right now within the earth. Now, together David's weapons, the staff and the rock, represent deliverance and judgment. Unconventional weapons, because the conventional weapons of man cannot help you in a covenant battle where the Lord requires the unconventional. You cannot take conventional weapons, carnal weapons, to a covenant battle. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down and destruction of strongholds. Now, Goliath has spears and swords that are the size of a weaver's beam, and he's got the shield, he's got iron-wielded weapons of man. However, Almighty God is not only far above that, he does not need to equip his servants with such weapons to win a battle. He requires them to have on the armor of God, not the armor of Saul, and to choose the weapons he has ratified. So, going into a covenant battle, you can't put the armor of Saul on. Going in to face Goliath, you can't keep on the armor of Saul. You have to put on the armor of God and then choose for yourself the weapons that God himself has ratified. So Saul fights out of the flesh. David fights from the covenant position of the Lord. And in this hour, the enemy, through pride and desperation and pressure about the midterms, about what's going on globally, about, you know, gas prices, oil, and a host of other things, is trying to lure David into Saul's armor, into Saul's perspective, into Saul's mindset, and then Saul's fall. Saul's have the kingdom torn away from them. Saul's fall because they go into battles without the covering of the Lord. Because they defy the order that God has set for that battle. So right now in this hour, the enemy through pride and desperation and pressure that is mounted, including with the midterms, is trying to lure David's in the administration into Saul's armor, Saul's perspective, Saul's mindset, which will bring their fall. That is what's happening in this hour. Now, I'm saying something here about what's going on within the administration prophetically. I'm talking. Saul is attempting to get in and dictate the battle. Saul is attempting to put his parameters, his vision, his armor on these battles, including with Iran. Saul is trying to get in there right now. And Saul is trying to lure David to his demise. I'm talking about more than one leader right now in the administration. Now, Something happened today that further brings 1 Samuel 17 spiritually into play. Being that we watched this very rare, unusual Camp David meeting that happened. We watched the prophetic timing of it. It's very close to the 250th anniversary of America. Here comes Camp David in the middle of these giants teetering. Here he comes. But something else happened that ties to 1 Samuel 17 in a very unique way. So we're going to put up the article and I'm going to explain this to you, how this prophetically ties. Alan Greenspan, longtime chairman of the Federal Reserve, dies at 100 years old. Greenspan led America's central bank in periods of historic economic expansion. It said he was the longtime chairman of the Federal Reserve. He died, I believe it was this morning. He was 100 years old. How does this have to do with Camp David and what's happening? Well, I'm going to show you. 1 Samuel 17, 47. We're in the 47th presidency when this all happens. Okay. Then a champion came out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. His height is 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze shin protectors on his legs and bronze javelin hung between his shoulders. The wooden shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. The blade head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. They didn't have steroids back then, people. This was a big, big man. And a shield bearer walked in front of him. So he comes from the line, I believe, of the Nephilim Goliath. So he really is a giant. But he is 6 and a span. 6 cubits and a span. We are in the 6th month. And a span comes out, a green span, and now suddenly passes away at the same time President Trump makes a rare visit to Camp David. Something is happening here and is on the move with 1 Samuel 17. I'm telling you, all of this is aligning at the same time. Now, we're going to just put this up from Secretary Bessent for a minute. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. I'm telling you, watch the financial wing of the cabinet. I'm just telling you, you need to pray and you need to watch. Under President at Real Donald Trump and VP, which is J.D. Vance, we continue to make the world safer and more prosperous. In line with ongoing productive talks in Switzerland, Iran is committed to free and open transit in the Strait of Hormuz and to permit International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors into their country. As part of the framework, Treasury has issued a temporary 60-day, here's this number six again, general license authorizing the production, delivery, and sale of Iranian oil. In the 6th month, they issue a 60-day temporary license in the year 2026. Now, what does this have to do with? Besides 1 Samuel 17, there's something going on with these negotiations in Switzerland that I want to point out to all of you. And we're going to go to Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. This is what it says. Then he said to me, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes of the celestial princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings, plural, of Persia. Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is in regard to the days yet to come." Now, what does this have to do with what's happening? Well, very interesting. J.D. Vance joined the talks, I believe, on June 21st. So he flies in, and I believe it's June 21st that he ends up joining these talks. But what's happening here The administration and the envoy they have sent to negotiate is not just negotiating with the leadership of Iran. It's not just negotiating with the IRGC. They are dealing with principalities of Persia that have territorial control over these leaders. Now, peace is one thing. However, principalities do not want peace. They will not keep their peace. They must be subdued in the spirit, which then removes the embargo in the natural. And Daniel 10 proves it. So the United States should not be so desperate for peace that they tie Israel's hands, first of all, or that Iran is rewarded in any capacity for their decades of terror and violence. The word of God even says the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Now, we can still pray for peace while discerning whether this truly is a good deal. We can be watchmen while the framework of this unfolds before us and we discern what kind of deal and framework this is. Now, it was Daniel's fasting and prayer that caused the warring angels to be dispatched to move the princes of Persia out of the way. So Daniel fasts and prays. Gabriel is dispatched to bring him an answer. When Gabriel is dispatched to have a meeting with Daniel, because that's what it was, the principalities of Persia come and block the way and basically tell Gabriel he has no legal access to get to Daniel for his meeting in Persia. Is what happens. Now, Gabriel then, because of Daniel's fasting and prayer, summons Michael, one of the chief archangels, to now come and war against the principalities of Persia and move them out of the way. So this team the administration has sent over to Switzerland to negotiate are not just dealing with men. They are dealing with spiritual forces who are looking to entrap the United States through a deal, not maintain peace. They are looking to block an answer from making itself known. They are looking to drag things along by a game of cat and mouse. They may behave for a moment, then they will act up and make themselves known again and get up and cause once again chaos. And they will try to goad the U.S. and the leadership into agreeing to parts of a deal that they should not be agreeing on, with more of what they want, not necessarily what will bring peace, not necessarily what is strategically good for the United States of America, what may be good for Israel, what may be wise, what may be from a position of strength. They want what they want. They truly don't want a fair deal. Why? Because we're dealing with the same ancient principalities that have come into the modern day boardroom negotiating tables and summits of the nations. This is a spiritual battle that is tethered to a modern day negotiation process. You are dealing with those who, under the influence of principalities, have the fundamental belief that the United States and Israel should not exist, that the 12th Imam must be brought onto the scene globally by the destruction of these nations, that proxies can do their bidding while they sit at the negotiating table. The kingdom of darkness and principalities, when they fight, it is guerrilla warfare. It is not fair. They don't care how much casualty they cause, and they will always try to ensnare and entrap the one attempting to negotiate with them. I do not necessarily believe these 60 days are going to go smooth or as planned, because it's a principality and you will not fully subdue the host that the principality is influencing, which is the Iranian leadership and IRGC. You won't fully subdue them at the negotiating table until those principalities are legally moved out of the way first spiritually. Now remember, Goliath boasted and taunted for a period, and then an unconventional weapon took him down by an unconventional shepherd. Daniel fasted and prayed, and it was that type of strategy and warfare that allowed Michael to be dispatched to assist Gabriel to physically move the principalities of Persia legally by order of God's court out of the way. What did he do? He fasted and prayed. Now, if you're going to negotiate with people like this, if you're going to try to get peace, then you should be negotiating from the place of covenant, being that you rededicated this nation back to the Lord. Your negotiation should be from a place of covenant. It should be from a place of fasting and prayer. And then you go to the negotiating table. Because now, spiritually, you are in the right position to actually have Almighty God legally deploy the angelic assistance in order to legally move the principalities of Persia out of the way. You just can't negotiate with leaders like this, because there is a heavy spiritual component tethered to principalities that have done dominance in regions that has to be fought legally by order of the word of God and the court of Almighty God. So when you're in there, you want to negotiate from a position of strength, a position of covenant, from a position where spiritually you are submitted to God's ways. See, Daniel was submitted to God's ways. He was submitted to the fasting and the prayer. So when Gabriel had to come to that meeting and it was blocked, the deployment came immediately because Daniel was found in right standing with God, and Michael was deployed, and the princes of Persia, those principalities, legally had to move. So if you want to move the host that they influence, if you want to move the leadership of Iran and the IRGC and the direction they need to go, you've got to move those principalities first. You have to, legally in the realm of the spirit, before the court of God, fight it the way Daniel fought it. Fight it the way David fought it. That already puts you in a position of victory at the table. You can't go in and think you're negotiating with just man. You're negotiating with demonic presences. There's a demonic presence and principalities that are involved and have a very heavy invested interest in these negotiations. So if you want to make them move, if you want to make the leadership of Iran move, if you want to make the IRGC move, if you want to make them submit, if you want to subdue, yes, they've also deployed force. They've deployed military force. But then you've got to deal with the spiritual force. And you have to do it how Daniel did it in Daniel chapter 10. So I wanted to say that too, because this is so important with what we're watching unfold right now within the earth. It is crucial that because this nation was rededicated back to the Lord, that you negotiate from that position now. That is an advantage for you that Iran doesn't have. Iran is not in covenant with the Lord. Its leaders are not in covenant with the Lord. The U.S. just reestablished that covenant, which means that is your legal position from which Daniel fought, from which David fought, from which the leadership of the administration that's in Switzerland needs to fight first. And I'm sure these are brilliant men that are brilliant at negotiating. I'm not taking anything away from them on that, but you're not just dealing with men here. You're dealing with principalities, and you have to understand the legal rules of engagement in order to deal with them. So I wanted to say that as well with this going on. Now, we're going to now move over, because globally, there's a lot shifting. We're going to put up the article. We're moving to England now, because at the same time Camp David's going on and what's going on in Switzerland with Iran, this happened today. So Keir Starmer announces resignation, becoming the sixth UK prime minister to leave office in the past 10 years. I'm going to show you something very interesting about this in a minute here. Keir Starmer has announced he will resign as Labour leader and step down as UK Prime Minister. Starmer confirmed on Monday morning he will quit following weeks of mounting speculation and falling poll numbers. Okay, now, two things before we get into prophecy. It's the sixth month. He is the sixth Prime Minister to resign in the year 2026. He did it on 6/22/2026. You have the six, and then you have 2 + 2 + 2 is six, and then you have the other six. So both ways of looking at it, you have that spirit of Antichrist watermark moving about right now with the leadership of England. And this is no different what we have just seen happen. Think about this too. In a month filled with pride, he falls. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a big fall. I believe that's Proverbs 16:18. In the month filled with pride, he falls. Not an accident. Not an accident. Now, let's go to the words of the Lord, because we're going to go all the way back to 2022 and work our way up with this, because this is crucial, what is happening in England. This is a political earthquake. This has the chance to completely sift Parliament. And so this has a chance to cause something to rise that's even greater than Brexit was, out of the ashes that Keir Starmer has created in that nation. Now, May 6th, 2022, word of the Lord. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, tick-tock, Big Ben, London's clock. Just watch, says the Lord, as deals are made and ammunition in many ways exchanged. What happens with the leadership of England, says the Lord, for the time has come for renewing of my spirit and my word in England, for tyranny is at their doorstep knocking. Capitals, do not open that door, for it will be the fall of much in your nation if you do. March 17th, 2023, there shall be a renewing of England across the ocean, says the Lord. The Parliament shall fall on itself, and a complete overhaul will be needed, as the people in England will become so restless they will flood the streets demanding change. A sea of people, says the Lord. The fear will turn into a burning desire for change, says the Lord. There shall be a renewal out of England and a move of God that will be historic. Watch the timing of such. Now, keep in mind, this is happening in England as we approach our 250th birthday of our freedom from England. So we're about to celebrate 250 years of being a nation and getting ourselves free from England. And as that's happening, the leadership of England is falling. January 16th, 2025. France is about to collapse, says the Lord, in tandem with England, because a storm of cleansing has gone out into the earth. January 28th, 2025. The days of reckoning have come, says the Lord. They have come in the church and within the government of the United States of America, within the government of England, of France, of Canada, of Mexico, of Colombia, of Brazil, of China, of Ukraine, of Russia, of Spain, of South Africa, says the Lord. And says the Spirit, let the book of records be opened this day, as the Holy Spirit. And it recorded that the time of reckoning has come, that the days must reach their fullness of reckoning, for fire in many forms to be carried out within these nations. For I am a consuming fire, says the Lord, a burning bush. The reckoning will bring the fullness of the demolition to the projects of the enemy, the projects of darkness, the projects of the corrupt. May 29th, 2025, it was global judgment at the altar of pride, word from the Lord. The leadership of England, says the Lord, your pants shall fall, you shall be caught with them down, and it shall be an embarrassment to all of Parliament, says the Lord. November 20th, 2025, for the lion itself shall become prey, says the Lord. The predator shall become prey, says the Lord, including in England, says the Lord. For they allowed a strange lion from another territory who does not know me, nor truly serves me, though it so claims to. Allowed that lion to come into unnatural territory and begin to establish its dominance, says the Lord. Within England and its cubs, says the Lord. Within the United States of America, says the Lord. Within Canada, says the Lord. And now such lions from foreign lands who do not know me have taken unnaturalized territory, says the Lord. With the help of Parliament, with the help of Congress, with the help of governors, says the Lord, and for such their portion shall be, they will prematurely step down in shame as their interests are gut wide open and exposed, says the Lord. February 16th, 2026, word of the Lord. Some are seeking safe passage to Russia, says the Lord, and to England, says the Lord. He's talking about those in the Ayatollah's court, and to Spain, says the Lord. Right now, says the Lord, the leadership of these nations are secretly making deals with leadership from the Ayatollah's court, and these deals shall be found out. And since, says the Lord, they have risen and taken counsel against me and my plans, they have risen and played the thieves for their gods. They have attempted as Haman to make such deals. They shall be hunted, says the Lord. Their leadership roles shall be taken, says the Lord, for a great purge is nearing the appointed hour within the earth. March 27th, 2026. Starmer is about to endure a great outcry in England that shall overtake him in this time, for revolt percolates in Parliament. Those were the words of the Lord about the leadership of England. Oh, I'm sorry. Did the screen freeze for a minute? Hold on. Okay, I'm still connected. It could be the weather here too. We've had some intense weather today. So these were the words of the Lord from England. And what happened? They're telling me I'm frozen. No, I'm okay? Okay. All right. So you can... Okay, we're back. Yep, okay, okay, good. Everyone can see me. All right, good. So, I'm going to tell you to watch the Church of England because the political and the church are running in tandem, prophetically. And now that this has happened in the UK, with Starmer, the Church of England will see its own earthquake and overturning because right now, what's happening in the church and what's happening in the political are running tandem right now. So they're coming one after the other. They're running parallel. Now, I want to go back to November 27th, 2024. Some words from the Lord here about Saul. So what has happened with Saul and what has happened with what we see unfolding in our nation and other nations, I want to go back to some of these words that have been given. So we're going to go back to 2024, November 27th, 2024. Haman's and Saul's have a position without an anointing, says the Lord. Destruction follows them. They bring whole nations into turmoil. They persecute and mock who I, the Lord, have anointed. They seek to remove them. Jezebel did the same thing, sought to remove opposition to keep her seat. The Hamans and Sauls must be sifted from the incoming presidency. For some have been positioned looking like a gift, looking as if they are the answer, looking at all their shiny accolades, says the Lord. Capitals, however, all of that does not a leader make. All of that does not prove character, says the Lord. For all their accolades, there are some very broken people who are being recommended for positions. And says the Lord of hosts, for what is coming upon this nation, the cookie cutter cut out typical accolades, typical qualifications, book intelligence, capital will not suffice, says the Lord. It will not. They cannot deliver an answer or find solutions to world issues, national issues that at the root are a spiritual problem, are a moral problem, are a problem because the love of money is at the root. For man's book knowledge will create a harder knot to untie. And yes, there are many knots to untie, says the Lord. So this was the warning back November 27th, right after the election, 2024. Now, November 20th, 2025, Sauls shall be stripped in this time in many forms, says the Lord. Absalom shall be lord to their demise, says the Lord. Red and blue, says the Lord, within the political party of this nation. In Parliament, says the Lord. In Canada, says the Lord. Oh, the blood you have shed and the agreement you have made with foreign gods shall be costly to leadership in this season, says the Lord. Those whose voices fill the air shall suddenly find themselves muted, shall find themselves descending, shall find themselves in a thick forest of their own making, where they cannot see through the darkness and confusion they have ushered in, and it shall be their downfall, says the Lord. Those voices must repent and back away now. That was back in 2025. For you are moments away from such an ensnaring and a fall, says the Lord. We just saw that in the past couple weeks in the church as well. For the collateral damage must be accounted for in this time, says the Lord. The wage must be paid and the lies must be reconciled, says the Lord. For the lies, oh, the layers and layers of lies and deception that have been held together by those who claim they want to bring justice to the people. However, it is not justice they bring, but bitterness and soul sickness and the aroma of rage and confusion, says the Lord. The bitter serpent is about to turn on the snake charmers who foolishly release such and now will indeed bite them. That was November 20th, 2025. This is why I'm bringing up these words for a reason. This is why the administration has to be so careful. The cabinet has to be so careful. The vice president, Marco Rubio, others have to be so careful and have to watch their words, including the president. Okay, and I'm going to tell you something very interesting. JD's middle name is David. I believe it's James David. But the enemy desires to sift him into a Saul. And Saul and David are enemies. They're not friends. So the enemy desires right now to sift those from David's to Saul's right now. He's trying to place Saul's covering, Saul's armor, Saul's apathy, Saul's carnality, Saul's greed, Saul's vision upon those that are anointed to be David's. Now, December 23rd, I want to go to this one too, because this has to do with this also. December 23rd, 2022. So this is like almost 4 years ago, this word. Word of the Lord. And this was during Biden's presidency. This was given about the next presidency. David's must not capital become Saul's in this hour. For if you so do, you shall lose your office and shame shall cover you. Your accomplishment shall be a vapor. You put your eyes on opponents, says the Lord. You put your eyes on your accomplishment, says the Lord. And that shall turn you the wrong way, capital. For where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord, not man, capital. Not lawyers, not secular counselors, not slithering snakes promising to protect you. Your help comes from the Lord. A full surrender is required. No more just dipping your foot in, says the Lord. No more, capital. A full surrender is required in this hour for you to go forward. As landmines have been placed at every turn, and as Saul attempted to bury David, so the same is occurring. However, capital, says the Lord, you must not, capital, become a Saul, for you will not go forward, and there shall be another delay for a time. For I, the Lord, can lift you above the fray, the smears, the jeers, and the jabs, capital, for decisions years ago have a part to play in what we see coming to full term now. Do not let it come to term, and there be no strength left to birth it forth, because you trusted in man and fleshly counsel. For I, the Lord, can navigate you through, but it requires a lowering of pride, a ceasing to the puffing out of the chest, a quieting of the boastfulness, and full attention on my plan, capital, for it shall not be done the same way this time, says the Lord. There is teetering in the nation, and leadership who fear me, capital, the Lord God, who sits on the highest throne, can bring the people back even more to their Creator. Do not, capital, put your hope in a man, for you shall be disappointed, says the Lord. Put your hope in me, capital, the Lord your God, and my plans and purposes for this nation. That's capital. For had it not been for a faithful remnant, this nation would have been lost. There are many twists and turns coming, says the Lord. All the eggs are about to fall out of one basket. I am God, there is no other, meaning Almighty God, that's capital. Serve me well in this hour, says the Lord. Serve me well, and I shall elevate you. For there is leadership being counseled in the wrong direction, and there must be a U-turn to bring them back. The kings and rulers who had the most successful terms were those, capital, who walked in the ways of the Lord, who did not go after the Baals, nor allowed the counselors of Baal to counsel them on national matters. Walk in all my ways. capital. For I, the Lord, can redeem those from the pit they are being strategically lowered into. If you fight in your own strength, you shall fall very short. Fight the good fight with faith, capital, and yielding to the Lord, for you are not infallible, and the covering once there has begun to falter because of what is going on with inner counsel and decisions being made. No, it is I, the Lord your God, speaking to you this day. That was back in 2022. And that was a vision, in a way, a picture being created of what, in many ways, we see unfolding now. And it's very important that the nation was rededicated back to the Lord. But now the thing is, leadership of this nation is held to the standard of the covenant now. They reestablished. So they, their actions, how they serve the Lord, will be weighed against that covenant. If they take counsel that's not of the Lord, and it leads the nation astray, they will be held and judged by the covenant. David was judged by the covenant. Hezekiah was judged by the covenant. Josiah was judged by the covenant. And now that we have reestablished that covenant, we have to adhere to that standard. Leadership has to submit to that standard, commit themselves to that standard, and not walk in violation of the covenant that was made. This is why it's so important when a covenant is reestablished, it now becomes the Lord's business first. I understand America first. I understand that agenda. I understand make America great again. But when the covenant is reestablished, Almighty God in his purposes and his plans and his agenda that he wants that leader to accomplish now supersedes all of that. Because sometimes God has a greater agenda than your gas prices. And I know that's hard for people to hear, and it's not that God doesn't care. It's that God has a greater agenda at times to fulfill globally, to align with his word that will ultimately end up helping you. It may ultimately end up helping with your gas prices. It may ultimately end up helping with these things, but his vision is beyond that. He cares beyond that. He has an invested interest beyond that. So it's not just about gas prices. You know, there's a war over the oil right now. You know why? Because something has to be pressed to bring oil forth. So in scripture, something has to be pressed for oil to flow. And when oil flows, anointing flows, that breaks the yoke of bondage. Why do you think now in the middle of all of this, there is a battle over the oil globally? Because there is a pressing. Look at Iran. Look at England. Look at the United States. Look at what's going on in the earth right now. There is a pressing. And when things are pressed, the oil flows. And this is why there is a prophetic battle over the oil. It's greater than just a commodity. It's greater than just the gas pump. There is a battle over the oil because prophetically it represents what flows when something is pressed and crushed. And that is what breaks the yoke of bondage in nations, with leaders, in your own lives. And we're watching that happen. So it's so important that when a covenant is reestablished, you actually understand the legal parameters of the way you should walk as a leader now in that covenant, and how you legally utilize the of that covenant. And when you go to the negotiating table, you understand the legal parameters of the covenant you've just reestablished that now you can use, because if you're fighting and negotiating from a position of covenant, it's a place of surrender and victory. Because when you're surrendered to the Lord, you already have the victory. You're under a covering. You are not under the covering of Saul. You are under the covering of Almighty God. And what's happening now that the covenant has been reestablished, because think about this. Goliath blasphemed that covenant for 40 days. David comes in covenant with the Lord, in communion with the Lord, a shepherd, surrendered, brazen in his faith. And the first thing that happens when Saul realizes this brazen young man filled with the Spirit of the Lord is going to go do his job, because it was Saul's job to deal with Goliath. But David now had been anointed because the kingdom had been torn away from Saul. Saul tries to make David like him. Saul tries to take the covenant out of the battle, because Saul's out of covenant now because the kingdom was torn away from him, and make David like him, which would have put David in a place of carnality, out from under a covenant, in a place of political greed, and David would have been killed. So it's so important when you have that covenant that you war according to the legal parameters of the covenant. When you go to the negotiating table of people under the influence of principalities and whole regions that are legally locked up in spiritual wars, you battle from a position of covenant. That is your position of strength right now. I understand the numbers. I understand wanting to negotiate with Iran about letting them sell oil. I understand all these things. But in order to truly subdue them, you've got to subdue the principalities that have the rights to them that they have made blood covenants with. You're dealing with blood covenants, legalities in the spirit, and territories spiritually that are far greater than the negotiating table at Switzerland, because it contains the explosive collective that is the Middle East geopolitical landscape. And that's what David was dealing with. An explosive collective. The Philistines were an explosive collective. Philistine means Palestine, by the way. So if you're ever wondering how this is all coming full circle according to scripture, well, this is it. David was dealing with an explosive champion, an explosive people with who were pagan, who worshiped false gods, who had Dagon as one of their main gods, who the Lord threw on the floor and broke that statue in the temple when they tried to put the Ark of the Covenant in there. This is what David is dealing with. David's not going to negotiate with Goliath. Daniel wasn't fasting and praying to negotiate with principalities. They were from a position of covenant, warring to subdue them, have victory over them, and bring the answers that were needed in order to prosper the nation. That is what they were doing. Imagine if leadership in this nation looked at it from that perspective. Imagine if they look beyond the negotiating table at the men sitting before them to the principalities beyond them and said, you know what? We're going after the strong man first. We're going to have the strong man bound according to God's word, according to God's court. And then once the strong man is bound, we can deal with their hosts. Imagine if that's how the negotiating took place. So this is why I'm saying we have to watch all this very closely, because this has a lot of layers to it, what is happening right now with Iran. We watched modern day Purim happen in Iran. We're watching this 9-1-1 thread that's been running through all of Trump's presidency. We're watching 1 Samuel 17:45 through 47, which equals 9-1-1. Because what was happening with Goliath was a full-blown emergency. Had Israel lost, they would have been enslaved. Had Israel lost, I'm saying something prophetic here now about negotiations going on, they would have been enslaved. This is why these negotiations have to go beyond corporate deals. Because there's a heavy spiritual component. And if they don't understand how to navigate that part, the principalities can run circles around the greatest of intellectuals. because they influence a lot of them. They can run circles around the greatest of intellectuals. This isn't taking intellectualism. The author of intellectualism does not help here. You have to deal with it from a position of covenant, as a covenant nation that reestablish a covenant, that's going into covenant battles, that's dealing with a geopolitical landscape that principalities have legal territory and rights to. So I'm showing you all of this for a reason, because I want you to look at it this way so it'll change how you pray about what we watch unfolding before us. It'll change how you intercede for the men that are trying to negotiate, because you can't negotiate out of the flesh in this. They'll get ensnared. They will get ensnared. Iran will do something to try to ensnare a part of the deal. Iran will do something to drag it along, because this is a spiritual war first that is coming into the natural. So this is not just about negotiations. This is about warring in the spirit and subduing the ones, the principalities, that are taking legal territory and claiming legal right. Because you have to deal with that and move that out of the way before you can get breakthrough in this and an answer. So watch these 60 days very closely, because these negotiations and what's happening with Iran is going to converge with our 250th anniversary. It's going to converge with that. It's going to converge with July 4th. And I'm warning you, we have to intercede and pray, because the enemy would like nothing more than on the day of America's birth to cause a death. I'm saying this prophetically right now. And I felt that. The enemy would like nothing more than on the day of America's birth to cause great death around that time. And the kingdom of darkness has already announced it from Washington, D.C. Now it's up to the watchmen and the church to intercede and pray and tear down these strongholds. Tear down the deployment. Stop the plans of the enemy. Jesus Christ himself said, "Behold, I have given unto you power and authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and against all the power of the enemy." Not some of the power, not half the power, not a third of the power. All the power of the enemy. So nothing shall by any means hurt you. When you operate in that power and authority submitted to the will of God, nothing the enemy can do can succeed against you. That is the position the church should already be in this nation. And it's not. Because we're watching a purge happen and a cleanse in order for a church to be restored that needs to be fighting from that position of power and authority that is given to us through Christ Jesus in covenant. Once again, it's a covenant position. It's a position you're warring from, that covenant position in your lives, in your families, in the nation. You're warring from that position. The church, body of Christ, has to move into that position and stop floundering and faltering between two opinions. So it's time for that, church. It's time. The Lord's equipped us. We now actually have to deploy and utilize it in this hour. Crucial hour. I'm telling you, this is a crucial, crucial hour that we are in. It's going to get intense. And we need to know how to war at this level to break through in this time, so that the enemy's crimes that he would like to amass in this nation around the birth of it are denied. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I felt that. Okay. We got to land the plane. All right. Let's put up Brace for Impact, please. This is Brace for Impact. So if you want to learn more about the things I'm talking about now and what's coming all the way up to our next election in 2028, this book is a highly prophetic book. We have it available everywhere books are sold. But if you go to arcofgrace.org, you'll see this picture. You can click on Brace for Impact. It'll take you to Amazon and you can purchase it there. We thank everybody that have purchased it, give it amazing reviews. It was a top seller on Amazon and we praise the Lord for that. So if you know people that know something's going on, but they don't quite understand what's going on, this is a good book to get them, to help them and equip them spiritually, to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say in this time. And we're going to put up Andrew Sorcini. This is Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals. He does all things gold, silver, gold-backed IRAs. If you've never invested in gold and silver and want to learn more, his team is very well equipped to help answer all of your questions. If you are an investor and would like to invest more in gold and silver in this time, this is one of the great times to do it, being that it has gone down a bit. It's a great time to buy. So you can text Andrew at 310-433-3524 or email him at andrew@bh-pm.com. We have the Cyrus coin with him. It's a silver coin. It says Cyrus, faithful shepherd, and in the back, in God we trust. Saving grace, because truly God is our saving grace in this ultimately. And so you could, even if you can't afford the minimum, Andrew and Clay Clark have come up with creative ways to actually help you if you really want to buy gold and silver. So please reach out to them anyway. They're doing this for our audience. We very much appreciate that. So please reach out to Andrew today for all your gold and silver needs. And we're going to put up Century H2O. This is a great five-stage under-the-sink water treatment system that removes harmful toxins. It increases pH. It neutralizes. It is a very easy installation. They not only have these for under your sink, which are perfect, you know, for your kitchens and apartments and even your RVs, but they also have whole home systems, and they have a portable system you can attach to your hose to actually give your livestock, your horses, your pets, wonderfully filtered water that is actually healthy for them. So you can use promo code GRACE10 for a 10% discount and go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and click on Century H2O. It's so important that our pets have clean water, that we have clean water. In the age of chemicals and everything we're finding out what's in the food and in the water, this is something that can actually help give you water that is cleansed and that is healthy and that you could have peace of mind about using. Praise the Lord. And also, at very quick at Reawaken America, we did go. We did pray. Praise God, we prayed for people for hours out there. You know why? Because Jesus Christ himself did it. If we're going to follow after Christ, I suggest we do what he did. And so we went there and we did that, and praise the Lord, we were able to touch a lot of people, deliver a lot of people, praise God, and set them free. So it was wonderful to meet so many of you that did come, that we did get to pray for out there, and we were very, very happy to be able to do that. Let me just tell you something briefly. Jesus didn't go in to the cookie cutter places, right? He didn't go in to the places that were neat and tidy and all together, you know, because he's the only perfect one walking around. So, you know, any of us could mess it up real fast. He went into the broken places, to the places of casualty, to the places of scandal. That woman caught in the act of adultery, right? How do you think the Pharisees caught her if they weren't there? Did you ever wonder how they caught her? How could they catch her? There were no cameras back then unless they were there. That was scandal. And you know what he did in the middle of that? He made a broken individual whole by his love, by his mercy, by who he was. And so Jesus did not go into the perfect, you know, mega, all lined up churches, and that's all he went to, and that's all he did. No, he went into the broken places. He went into places where there was scandal. He went into places where people were hurting. He went into places where people needed to be delivered and set free, and that's what he did. And praise Almighty God for that, and that's why we do what we do. And that's why we go. And that's why we go when the Lord calls us to go. And that's why we go, even when things come out in the media, even when things happen, guess what? We're still commissioned to go and help the hurting and pray for those that need deliverance and be a light to drive out the darkness. How's the darkness getting driven out if the light won't come? We are meant to go into those dark places, into those messy places, and drive it out and bring the light of God and the deliverance of God and the power of God to transform those places. So if you're going to be in ministry and you don't want to get your hands dirty and all, and I don't mean in something, you know, I mean like you don't want to do the nitty gritty, you don't want to get involved in that, then you know what? You're not in ministry for the right reasons. And you know what? The Lord needs people right now that are willing to be his hands and feet in this season. He's calling us to be his hands and his feet to a lost and dying world. So that's for you to think on as we close tonight. Let's put up the scriptures. We want to encourage you in the word. Psalm 91. I say it every single day. Don't I, Esther? Yeah, you're in the bedroom when I say it. Esther knows because she's in the bedroom when I say Psalm 91 every single day. So I say it every single day in the evening before bed, as well as Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19 from the Believer's Authority. I say those scriptures every evening as well. We have other Psalms for you up, as well as the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6. I say that every day as well. As well as Hebrews 11. I'm also going to encourage you again to go back to Daniel 10 and 1 Samuel 17. Go reread them with the perspective that you've been shown tonight in the midst of what we see happening globally. So thank you, everyone. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6 as usual. Put your armor on daily. Get up with the Lord. Give him his time. Get in the word. Give him his due. Because it's time in this season to build and take territory amidst the outcry of the enemy. It's time for us to do that. The time is now. The time to build is now. The time to take territory is now. So advance in the plans and purposes of the Lord in your life and watch amazingly your life be transformed. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We will be back on live later on in the week. We will make an announcement. Keep the faith. We love you. God bless.